And dear friends, in Christ's grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we began in the service, and I informed you, today is the last day of our celebration of National Lutheran Schools Week. And in reflecting on what we should do, we picked the theme that we've been using for chapel all year, which is Real Present God, based off of Psalm 46. This is also the theme for the National Youth Gathering that's going to be happening this year in Minneapolis. And as we conclude National Lutheran Schools Week, we will be gathering later today at 10:30 over at Peace to celebrate everything that this school is to us. But that doesn't mean that we can't celebrate it here and now too, because I think that everybody here is very aware and familiar with the many blessings that we have in this school. I think it can be seen through all of the support that we have for this school that we have a lot of people who do value what we are doing with our school. It's a very storied past in our school. A lot of changes, a lot of crazy things have happened, truly. We are certainly not immune to the effects of sin. But yet, it's probably one of the biggest celebrations of this church. I hear more of people speaking about the joys that they have in our school than I do about any other ministry that we have. Pie makers are a close second. But I think people love the school maybe a little bit more than pie, which says a lot, right? But this is it's been such a wonderful place because not only do we have excellence in our education here, but we see that our students are continuing to succeed once they have left our school. And so, with our theme being Real Present God, and as we seek ourselves to understand God more fully, I think it's better if we actually kind of flip things around a little bit. What does it mean for God to be God? What does it mean for God to be present? What does it mean for God to be real? And honestly, why does it matter? I think it's important for us to reflect on all of these things, and especially why they are relevant to us. Because I think that in reflecting on its relevancy, it helps us be more equipped as we go out into the world. So why does this matter to our church, our ministries, and our school? Well, first off, what does it mean for God to be God, and how do we know? Because you can define really anything as God, but how do you know that you can actually trust in it as God? As you look out into the world, you see many different gods competing, right? You see many people who have made many things into their God. There's an old philosophy out there that says that every human being is created with this empty space in them that they then fill with something, and whatever they fill it with, they call their God. People call that the God hole. And it's a strange sounding concept. But I think that as we look out into the world, we can really see it happening. If you go online and look up your hobby, your favorite thing to do, you will see enthusiasts who put so much time and effort into their hobby that it has become their God. While children are an amazing blessing, we see, especially when you go to like a youth sporting event, how parents make their children their gods. Go to a bar, you'll see people who have made alcohol their God. I mean, honestly, you can look at anything out there and you can see someone who has replaced God. People make money, politics, family, possessions, sex, anything you can really think of. They have turned that from a gift into their God. These are idols. They're simply not God. But yet, when we are defining something, I think it's best that we define it based on what it does, right? We define a can opener as a can opener because it opens cans, right? So in the same way, we define God by the godly things that he does. And we have seen God show us who he is by what he does. He has revealed himself to be Father, Son, and Spirit, a creator, a redeemer, a sanctifier. He's a provider, a teacher, an equipper. Honestly, God works in so many ways that sometimes it's easier to say what he doesn't do than to say what he does do. But Paul very, very plainly puts it to us that we know who God is because of what he has done for us. And this is what we know, that Christ has died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, which is Peter, by the way, then to the 12. What idols do that for us, right? If we believe in our hearts that Christ has died on our behalf, that we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Paul also says that. This belief that God is actually working for us is what seals us into this amazing thing. What idols do that for us? That car that you might spend every waking hour fixing up, replacing all of your time that you would normally spend with your family or serving people. What car is going to die for your sins? It might die because it's a piece of junk, right? But it's not going to save you. And certainly, while sins are the problem, the great problem that everyone is very familiar with is that problem of death. What out there is going to save you from death? Science cannot stop death. Doctors cannot stop death. But Christ, by being raised from the grave, has defeated the power of death and has promised to come back and redeem us even further to take us to perfection. What idols do that? Nothing does that. And only God has the power to do that. We see that then these idols are useless. But God reveals more of himself to us. And he sends to us his very Holy Spirit. We see how Christ breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In many and various ways, he has breathed upon us by being washed in the waters of baptism or by simply hearing the word of God, that the Holy Spirit has entered into our lives. And we know that through this Spirit, we see God being present. We hear even Jesus say that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, he is there with us, right? Not maybe or might be, just there, you know, just kind of there with you. He is there with us. God is very present. Many people believe that they are the only ones who do anything in their lives, that they might even be believers, but they believe that they're the only actors, right? That God is not present. He's not doing anything for them, right? We hear the old phrase that Benjamin Franklin coined, that God helps those who help themselves. And we know that by God being present, this is just simply not true. That God is present. He causes the crops to grow. He blesses the farmer to harvest. He blesses the baker to bake. He blesses us with jobs that give us money so that we can buy bread. And that's just a tiny, tiny little minor thing that God does for us. But he also, by being present, brings us salvation. Because, yeah, you can claim that Christ is God and say, by him dying on the cross, he has redeemed me. Okay, cool. But how do you know that? And it is by the presence of God that we know these things. That God blesses us with his Holy Spirit. He reveals all of these truths through his word. And then enters into our very lives to work in our hearts the gift of faith. So that we are actually opened up to seeing all of the things that God does, all the ways that he blesses us, each one of us personally with his Spirit. And that works to provide many wonderful things for us. But to be very honest, the way that I know with absolute certainty that God is present is through prayer. God answers prayers. He absolutely does. He might not answer them like we want them to be answered, but he answers them. And I know that in my job that I get beaten up, that I'm with people in the worst parts of their lives, right? That I myself am being targeted by the devil, that I myself have to deal with my own struggles with sin, and that I can doubt and I can get depressed and just fall down. And I call out to God and in a very arrogant and rude prayer ask him to prove himself to me. And God, being loving and patient, always does. To which I always respond with another prayer, sorry for being rude, right? I want to be respectful to my Father in heaven. But he does. He wants to be known. That's the other big part of his presence, is he wants us to know him. He wants to be present in our lives. And all of this together helps us to know that He is real. This is God. He is present. This is not just some old book, some old maid's tale of good morals, right, that we just teach so that our kids will know not to kill or steal or stuff like that. This helps me to know that this is not just a book that was made up by men who seek control. That's what many believe, that the Bible was written like 300 or 400 years after it was actually written by people who wanted to control people. All of these things put together help me to know that that is not true, that God is real, that He is present. And it is in all of these things together that we believe, teach, and confess in our churches, and especially in our school. And as we reflect on the National Lutheran Schools Week, our Lutheran teachings, our Lutheran heritage, this is what we are doing to equip. This has always been a part of our church. When C.F.W. Walther was around getting churches to join the synod, you basically couldn't really join the synod unless you had a school. It's a massively important part of who we are as Lutherans that we are teaching these things. And there are so many people now that are coming into our school who just have no idea who God is. They are unchurched. They were never churched. They might have gone to church but never are going. They're coming to us simply because we are excellent in education. We have a lot of kids succeeding because they're bright. And that's because of our staff. They're phenomenal. And it is with this, then, that they are coming to us to receive many things. And along with that teaching, we are bringing God to them. We are teaching them how God is God, how He is present, how He is real. We are teaching them these things and equipping them. And then these kids are taking this to their families. They're bringing God with them everywhere that they go. And they teach their families. And then their families, we're seeing this, are coming to church. And they are then coming to church regularly and hearing God's word and constantly being strengthened in everything that He does for us, knowing that He is God, that He is present, that He is real. With all of these things working together, it's such a proud thing for me to see all of this happening, because we don't see it really happening almost anywhere else. And it's really depressing. But I'm just so proud of all these kids in the schools. Even the kindergartners are asking these good and deep questions, that they are curious. And I'm not hearing any staff, a teacher, principal, whoever, I'm not hearing any of them saying, don't ask those questions. They're saying, I don't know, let's go talk to pastor. I'm constantly being bothered throughout my day by questions from the school to help teach these kids. I say bothered. I'm not being bothered. I'm constantly being approached because of these things. And I'm able to then be with these kids and teach them more. And it's just, all of this together is such a joy for me. But it's with all of this, it's a constant equipping that we are doing, right? That what we are doing in the school is what we are doing both at Trinity and Peace. That these are places where we are equipping people with God. We are giving them God. Well, God is blessing us to give Him to them. But it is through these places that God is made known. That God is brought to these people. That God is lifted up and praised. And with all these equipping, we are then sending people out into the world. Our kids are going off to BA and to the public school and Northfield and Medford. They're going all over the place with many different people from many walks of life. And everywhere they're going, they are bringing God with them. And they are constantly succeeding too. And with us too, that's what we do in the churches. Build up, equip, lift up, and send you out. Because where you are going too, I hear God is lifted up and praised. That you, even outside of this church, are proclaiming God's mighty deeds through His word for you. And it's through all of these things that God is proclaimed and He is made real, present, and He is emphasized to be God. Amen? Amen.